The engine, this is a Pratt & Whitney?
Yes, yeah. The engine is a Pratt & Whitney.
What other aircraft have this type of engine? Is it readily available?
Well, the 450 Pratt & Whitney is in all the Beechcraft twin engines.
Beech.
So that the engines are available there. And of course, there's a lot of them in the BTs, you know, the years of making BTs, not too many of them flying. So so there are a number of the engines around. Of course, the Stearman's used them in their operation for spraying and dusting in the Stearman. Mm-hmm. So that's there's a lot of them around. Covington does a nice job of working on them.
Bill, you want to step up here, Bill, and tell us about your anticipation of flying the BT-13. Have you flown this airplane yet?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have any BT time. In fact, I've got a few hundred hours in primary trainers, and I'm looking forward to graduating up to a basic trainer.
Oh, cool. Well, just like the ladies. Just like the ladies did then, right?
Right.
Yeah. Jane, you want to give him any pointers?
What? In flying what?
Transitioning from basic into the BT-13.
Yeah. Well, I don't really remember that much about it. I know that's it. We didn't know a lot of things in the AG-6, but then coming back to this, we had that link trainer for quite a while, and then we got into the BT-13 and flying, and then we always had someone with us when we were flying because we were under the hood. So I didn't have that much experience with really flying the plane, except that as a co-pilot, while the other one was under the hood, I was able to fly it. So,
Was this a pretty stable airplane in the instrument environment?
It was an easy plane to fly.
Right.
And I liked flying it, but I still like the AG-6.
It was faster.
Yeah, the T-6 was a lot faster. You could pull that gear up.
See, we called it the vibrator, too. It makes a lot of noise. I can tell those engines still when I hear them.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the airplane is going from here to Texas. Is that correct in the near future?
No, we're flying back to Minneapolis with it and be a couple of weeks probably before we fly down to Texas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. Well,
we have to have time to plan a celebration for this plane to arrive in
absolutely.
Sweetwater.
Well,
yes,
absolutely.
We do.
Well, I say congratulations to all of you, to your team that took on this project.
You did a wonderful job on it. It looks beautiful.
You all exemplify what we are in Warbirds of America to keep them flying. As Carol said earlier, you can see a picture and you can see them sitting in a museum. It's not quite the same as hearing one run or to having the opportunity to get hold of the stick. So, Terry, the group, Bill, Carol.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Jane, very much for being here. Does anybody have a question now? I'm not going to forget you. Okay.
I'd like to ask if you can remember any experiences during your flying career that really got your heart pumping. Maybe some mechanical issue or something that sticks out in your mind that was a little bit scary.
Well, I don't remember which plane it was that I was flying, but the oil line broke. But it broke just before I came in for a landing, so I didn't have any problems getting back down. But it was a good thing I didn't have very far to go. And that was really the only mechanical problem that I had. When we were on our 2,000-mile cross country, it was in the springtime, and we flew from Sweetwater to Atlanta, Georgia, and we were flying over the southern states, and there was a lot of flooding in Louisiana. And we had to land at an auxiliary field in Louisiana. And just about maybe 100 miles out from the field, the weather started closing in. And I was sort of flying the treetops between the flooded land below and the clouds above because I hadn't gone on instruments. And that was really the only time they said, God, you're a co-pilot, and he was with me that day. But I got to the auxiliary field, but there were some of them that landed all over different places in there in Louisiana. But those were really the only two experiences that I had where it was a little bit touchy.
Great. Any other questions? Oh, we have one over here, Kyle. Actually, I see a couple of Twin Beach operators out here, so they know how your engines operate.
This question is for Jane. You mentioned that your husband was a pilot. Did you meet him as a civilian or your wife as a pilot?
I didn't get what he said.
You mentioned your husband was a pilot?
Yes.
Did you meet him as a civilian in your civilian life or as a pilot?
He was my Czech pilot.
did you pass on the first ride, Jane?
He was so strict I couldn't stand him. He kept cutting out engines on me all the time because it was in the AT-10, and I'd just get one engine back on and cut out the other one back and forth. And when I came down, I thought, I don't want to ride with him again, but I did. And we became friends.
I'm glad you asked that question. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we were married for 67 years, so it lasted.
It did.
Yes, sir, we have one more question here.
Yeah, question about the BT-13. Will it be flown regularly when it's at its new home in Sweetwater?
Yes, it will. It won't be on any strict schedule, but I would hope that we'll fly it weekly or at least two or three times a month.
Good.
Yep.
Okay, we have a gentleman here. We have, I think this is our last question. Here we go.
Where is he?
Run, Kyle.
Yes, I have a question for Jane. You said your husband was stationed in Japan.
Yes.
Did you go to Japan? Did you live there? And if so, what was your impression of post-war Japan?
I didn't get to Japan. He was sent there just at the close of the war. And he was sent over there as a finance officer. But when he got to the base, the colonel wanted to see him. And he said, I see you're from Wisconsin. And he said, Cuba City, and the colonel that was the commander of the field was from the same area, and he says, but how'd you get to be a finance officer? You like to fly, don't you? And he said, I sure do. So then he flew from then on. He did reconnaissance flights after the war in Japan, and because he had been an instructor during the war, he didn't have previous overseas time. So I'd just get to the top of the list to go over there, and new people would come in that had previous overseas time. So I never did get to Japan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you for being a part of the Warbirds in Review. This has been terrific, and referencing the young people and bringing them in, I'd like to point it out to all of you that we have added a simulator just as you depart this way. It's in a big white tent there, and it is a P-51 Old Crow simulator, like Bud Anderson's airplane. Redbird simulators, and that is open to the kids. I think we've had to fight off the adults, but we want to do that for the young people who can be here. So the simulator's right down here. One more reminder that we do have the souvenir program, some wonderful pictures of all the people who are through here throughout the week, and this is totally separate than the program you might have from EAA, and it truly is a collector's item. I'd like to thank my team of volunteers and all of you once again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.